Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. We're going to be talking about the Kavanaugh nomination and confirmation to the U.S. Supreme Court. And our guest this part of the program is Mark Harrington, president of Created Equal, a pro-life organization, and much is at stake with the Supreme Court seat that is open. Of course, Brett Kavanaugh still being in process to have an up or down vote this week. And I want to open the program with a scripture verse from Luke chapter 18. In which Jesus is speaking to his followers, and he says this parable unto them, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He said, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because of this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, I read this portion of Scripture to talk about how we ought to pray what is happening in Washington. Brett Kavanaugh and his family have been under assault. This fine man, this justice who has served in the federal courts and is under consideration, nominated by President Trump, has been falsely accused. And I see that the accuser's story is beginning to fall apart and crumble. And this has been a vicious attack and an attempt by the political left to derail this nominee. And folks, let's not make any suggestion or, you know, let's not fool ourselves. This is all about abortion. This is about what the court might do. So we see those on the radical left who are doing anything and everything within their power, even to the point of creating anarchy in Washington. In fact, reports came out that U.S. senators have had to be under police guard by being escorted around the U.S. Capitol grounds and to their Senate offices. Senator Ted Cruz and his wife were assaulted last week in a restaurant by protesters and driven from the premises. We're seeing also that Lindsey Graham was under escort through the Capitol building, and Senate President Mitch McConnell was accosted at the airport. Is this the kind of country we want, folks? This is what happens in third world countries when anarchists begin to intimidate public officials. These are duly elected officials representing the districts. And I tell you, there's a lot of people that are very angry of what's happening right now, of this kind of nonsense that's happening on the political left. But as Christians, even though we are frustrated, we're angry, we're incensed, just like everyone else watching what's happening on television, I share this scripture with you that Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And so what we need to do is we need to pray for Justice Kavanaugh. We need to pray for his wife and his family and his dear children. We need to pray for our U.S. senators, and we need to pray that the nomination take place and the final vote cast, hopefully favorable for the nominee. Well, that's my opening statement. We're going to go right to the phone to our good friend who's been fighting for the unborn for decades now, in his work with Center for Bioethical Reform and now with Created Equal, as he's been working with young people going to college campuses where these life and death decisions of abortion, that's where it's taking place. He's in the trenches defending for the unborn and contesting for the truth on the front lines of our young people today all across the American landscape at college campuses and beyond. Mark Harrington, welcome to the program.
Great to be here, Chris.
Well, thank you, Mark, for all that you do. It's a very difficult job at times of what you do, and God bless you and all those who work with you at Created Equal. Tell us your thoughts about what is happening in Washington.
Well, I think you hit it on the head. This has everything to do with Roe versus Wade. They were unable to take down this nominee based on substance. In other words, he's fully qualified for the job, and they had nothing to bring against this man. And once the nomination, the hearings were over, that's when they had this in wait. They were waiting for the moment to bring this forward, these scurrilous charges against him of sexual abuse. They figured that was the only way they could bring this man down, and they realized if he got on the court and sat in the seat of retiring Justice Kennedy, that that could tip the scales when and if the court would review Roe v. Wade. So let's not think anything otherwise than this has everything to do with abortion and everything to do with the concern that they have of overturning Roe versus Wade.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think that people are beginning to see this. You know, I've been reading through the Old Testament, and I'm in the book of Judges, and I'm reading about Gideon. And he is one of the men that God raised up, and God called him and said, "Thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee." And he looked around like, "Who are you talking to?" And he says, "I'm talking to you," you know, and so God had a job for him. And, you know, I spoke to a group of people last night in Adams County, Mark, and a fine group of Christians who gather there in Adams County monthly. In fact, they were stuffing envelopes fighting an alcohol issue in their community, and they're wanting to know about what's happening in Washington and the work that we do with the Ohio Christian Alliance and the Voter Guide and, you know, obviously helping them to understand where the candidates stand on issues, so they'll be getting those. But we talked about Gideon, and we talked about there's nothing new under the sun. What's happening here? Well, Gideon was raised up to fight against the spirit of Baal. And what was Baal worship back in the days of Israel? It was human sacrifice. It's the same thing what's happening with abortion. You know, the innocence is dying. And it's dying on the altar of convenience for sexual activity among people who don't want to live with the choice that they have made. And that is, a child is born out of that coming together. But why should the child die? And that's what abortion is. And folks, we are contesting for life. It is a life and death issue. So these folks that really, I believe it's a spiritual battle, Mark, what's going on in Washington. People are starting to get that understanding. I'm seeing on Facebook where people that I didn't think would call for prayer are saying, rather than turning on your social media and the TV and watching the drama on the Senate floor, why don't you turn all that off, get on your knees, and if we would all just begin to really pray. And that's where this warfare is being waged, is in the heavenlies. This is what Paul said. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Ladies and gentlemen, may I suggest to you that what is happening in Washington is a battle for the soul of our nation. And this issue of the innocence of abortion is what it's all about. This is the drama that's being played out. And that we can't fight it in our flesh. And you see things that are happening on TV with, as we just reported, about congressmen and senators being accosted by protesters and anarchists. And at this point, that's what it is. It's a spirit of anarchy. Well, what is that coming from? Well, it's coming from a spiritual warfare. We must fight it spiritually. We must pray. We must grab hold of the horns of the altar in heaven, and we must intercede for those who are casting that vote for this man. Come this week, Senator Mitch McConnell says, we're going to hold a vote. It's going to be up or down for Brett Kavanaugh and this open seat. Now, the Supreme Court is already open session, and there's going to be a number of cases regarding religious liberty and even life issues that come before the new session of the court. And it's right now it's a deadlocked at 4-4. If you're looking at the philosophical makeup of the court, you don't think that our opponents understand that? They certainly understand that. They understand that this is a swing vote, potentially a swing vote. Mark, your thoughts.
Well, exactly, Chris. See, what we're seeing here is the culmination of a generation that has been, at least on the left, out to destroy the civil society. Our institutions are under assault. Everything that's good and right and just about America is under attack. This is just the most recent iteration. I mean, Brett Kavanaugh and his nomination is just another of many attacks against that. Don't get that wrong. And we need to understand that these folks are out to remake and fundamentally change America, and we're seeing that happen before our eyes. We're living in a post-constitutional, post-rule of law nation unless we turn this thing around real fast. And that's why, as you say, we need to be praying that our senators, our U.S. senators, especially the Republicans, grow a spine here in the next couple of days and vote this man through, because it's more than just Brett Kavanaugh sitting on the U.S. Supreme Court. I dare say that these kinds of decisions, really, the future of our nation hangs in the balance each time one of these things presents itself to us, and this is a big one, just as it was in 2016 when President Trump entered the White House. So we need to understand that we are up against it here, and we need these men to do the right thing and plow through this and vote this man on the Supreme Court.
We have been here before as a nation. Mark, we're seeing such anxiety and angst on the federal level in the Capitol building itself, in the Senate chambers. We're seeing that Senator Jeff Flake was rushed in the what is basically the members' elevator. If any of you have ever been to the Capitol and you've been to the Senate building, you know that there's elevators that says members only. That's literally a crime if you go in there. If you're not a member of Congress and invited by the member of Congress to ride that elevator, you're not permitted to go there. Yet these women were able to get by security and surround Senator Flake last week and yell at him and scream at him. Mark, your thoughts on that?
Well, they've said it themselves. They will move this agenda forward by all means necessary, and that includes harassment and violence, and we're seeing that. This is Soviet-style tactics. This happens in the former Soviet Union, not in America, but it's happening before our eyes. And here's the thing, Chris, if you and I and other Christians who claim the name of Christ, who are, you know, true blue Americans and believe in the founding and everything this country represents, if we don't stand up now, we may not get another shot at this. We're losing the opportunity to turn this thing around. I think we're at a real pinnacle, a real moment in history right now that we've got to do the right thing and get on the phones and call our senators and do all those things. But we can't stand. We need to stand up against this thuggery, not in the way that they do it, in the way that Brett Kavanaugh has done it. And that is, he respectfully answered his questions firmly. But this man has been under attack. His family has been savaged by these folks. I mean, it's awful to see. It's disgraceful and despicable. But we can't do what they do. We cannot. We've got the tactics of our Lord and Savior, and that means that we've got to pursue things in a civil manner, and I think that wins the day overall. I think they're running out of options here. They're losing at the ballot box, and we're winning hearts one at a time.
In 1860, Abraham Lincoln gave a speech in New York City, and he talks about the Southern slave owners. He's calling out to them, and he said, "You're willing to destroy the Republic over this issue, over your position of not coming to an understanding of moving beyond slavery. You're so willing to hold on to your slaves and at any cost that you will, even if it costs destroying the Republic." Mark, isn't that the same kind of spirit we're seeing right now over this nominee?
Exactly. I mean, you put it right when you put abortion in the category of child sacrifice. We may not be worshiping at the altar of Baal today, but we are, and I say we in the sense that the feminists, the modern feminists and those who support that agenda are worshiping at the altar of choice. That is, this is blood money. This is all about blood. And Satan loves the shedding of blood, especially innocent blood, those little ones created in his image. And this is what this is all about. And if we can't turn this around, I fear for our nation.
We're talking with Mark Harrington. He is the president of Created Equal, a pro-life organization that's on the front lines at our college campuses across the Midwest and the country, and actually advocating for the unborn and contesting with young people to get them to enter into an intellectual dialogue on the issue of abortion, on basically life itself. And he leads teams of young people that go out and engage in this discussion so that we might have an intelligent discussion. Mark, at times you've seen that kind of, this isn't new to you because you've seen this kind of strong reaction when you go to college campuses and those young people see the signs of the aftermath of abortion, basically the destruction of human life, and they get hostile and some get violent. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, in some ways, that's to be expected because folks that are complicit in abortion or complacent towards it when confronted with the reality of what abortion is, that it's the decapitation, dismembering of a preborn baby, when faced with that brutal truth, they've got to do one of two things. That is, the first thing we would hope is that they would look within and admit they're wrong and repent and know that there's a willing Savior, a loving Savior there to forgive them and cleanse them of their sins. That's number one, and we see that in some cases. The other option is to find some way to cope with their guilt, and often that is done in anger or in some cases violence. So we've been seeing this more and more in the last 2-3 years, and of course you're just talking about what's happened at the Capitol. It's not just confined to Washington, D.C. This happened all across the country where those who stand up for truth and righteousness in the public square are under attack. So we see that more and more, but honestly, Chris, we see the others as well. And let me read to you just one quick quote. This is from
Please.
A University of Purdue student. His name is Bruce. And when he came across our Jumbotron TV screen playing an abortion, he said this, quote, "These images make my heart bleed. This completely changed my mind. I see now that there's no difference between killing a preborn child and a born child." So we have this all the time. We were just at Bowling Green and at the University of Akron. University of Akron, we were there 8 hours. We had a team of 10 people, and we know of at least 30 people that had confirmed, changed their mind from pro-choice to pro-life. Those are the ones we know.
Wow.
Many don't stop and talk, or if they do, we never get that out of them. So we're having a huge impact, one heart at a time.
Praise God.
And that's the only way we can turn America around. We're not going to do it by bullying people, threatening them, harassing them like the left does. We cannot do that. We've got to do what we know we're commanded to do, and that is to preach the gospel and love our neighbor as ourselves.
Mm. Even as the scriptures declare and God speaks to the people, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They be red like crimson, they shall be white." Well, this is what we're to do. We're to contend for the truth. We're to contend for the unborn. Mark, you do that with a team of young people that have joined you in Created Equal and the justice rides that you're on that are basically going to abortion clinics and also to universities, wherever your voice is being heard in the public square. You'll be all around Ohio. Tell us about the campaign that you'll have in the month leading up to the election.
Well, it's actually already begun. We have chosen the battleground states of Ohio, Indiana, Missouri, Tennessee, and Florida. We can't get to all of them. There's probably 8 or so that are considered battleground states for the U.S. Senate. And why the U.S. Senate? Because it controls nominees to the U.S. Supreme Court. It controls the agenda of the president. I mean, you can either get it through or it can block bad things from happening. So we've got to control the U.S. Senate. And that's where we're going, to those colleges in those states, and we'll be doing that through Election Day.
And the Ohio Christian Alliance also has produced a voter guide. It will be posted on our website on October 8th. That will be next Monday. We'll have the voter guide in advance for you to download. We have covered the governor's race, statewide races, congressional, Ohio House, and Ohio Senate. Also, information on Issue 1. We urge a no vote on Issue 1. Many other law enforcement organizations and civic organizations come out against Issue 1. This thing would be disastrous. We're fighting an opiate addiction problem in this state, and Issue 1 is the last thing we need right now. So this information will be available on our website at the Ohio Christian Alliance website. Just Google that, or just go to ohioca.org. And again, it will be free download. We don't ask for your information. Just click and print. You can't make it any easier than that. Now, we have surveyed all the candidates. In fact, we surveyed them twice. Again, we do it for the statewide races of governor, secretary of state, auditor, treasurer, attorney general, congressional offices, all the districts, Ohio House, Ohio Senate. And we mail surveys to both the Democrat and Republican running on the November ballot. Now, if a candidate does not respond, they won't be there. You know, go down as a non-response. If their opponent responded and they did not, they'll go down as a no response. And then you'll see the positions of the candidates. We ask questions on what do they believe? Do they support a banning abortion when a heartbeat is detected? In other words, supporting the heartbeat bill. Other information pertaining to transgender bathrooms in public schools or teaching homosexuality as an acceptable, healthy lifestyle in public schools. You know, these candidates have actually, we've had 50 candidates that came forward, took positions on pro-life, pro-family issues. Folks, I think they need to be commended. You need, because we can't even get clergymen to take positions on these things in the pulpit, Mark. And if we get candidates that are willing to stand up and put their mark on the Ohio Christian Alliance candidate survey. By the way, we don't publish the full survey. It's a seven-page survey for federal races. It is a five-page survey for state candidates. We keep that internally. It gives us a profile of this person, where they stand on issues. We'll use that as we continue to lobby for pro-life, pro-family legislation. We take about 12 or 14 of those answers, and we publish those that are relevant to the election. So, folks, you can find this information, and it will be helpful to you. And we've taken this time, you know, to do this, and this obviously, this it's so important to provide this information. You know, Mark, even as I go through, people say, well, I'm so thankful that you're providing this information. You know, I would need this, too, because I don't know all these folks, and I don't know who's on my ballot. And if we didn't survey them and get responses, I wouldn't know where they were standing on issues. So it's helpful to a lot of folks. Give us some closing thoughts and give us your website.
Well, when it comes to the U.S. Senate and the nomination and confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh, we can't use the arm of the flesh. We're not going to outfund them or outraise money. We're not going to outfight them. We're going to be like the persistent widow that you mentioned. That means we're going to outlast them when it comes down to it.
Praise God.
Chris, and thanks for all you do. And folks, really, get behind the Ohio Christian Alliance. If you're interested in our website and what we're doing, go to createdequal.org, createdequal.org.
God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much. And our prayers are with you and your entire team. Thank you for what you're doing in our state this month. God bless you.
You as well.
Thanks for listening, folks. Stay right there. We'll be right back after these messages.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus us fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Hi, this is David Barton of Wall Builders. Tuesday, November the 6th is a very important day for Ohio Christians. It's Election Day. It's a day when Christians have a duty to vote, especially for candidates who will protect our religious liberties. Even though our religious liberty is an inalienable right given to us by God Himself, many in government today are openly hostile to it, even attacking it. You need to vote. If you're not registered to vote in Ohio, you can register online by going to myohiovote.com. Again, myohiovote.com, and you must have a current Ohio driver's license to register. You can also register by mail at your county board of elections. The deadline to register is October the 7th, so don't delay. Please stand up and let your vote be felt in protecting our inalienable right of religious freedom. God bless. Paid for by the One Nation Under God Foundation, a tax-exempt organization.
And we're back. Recently in Cuyahoga County, right here in the greater Cleveland area, the county council passed what they're calling a human rights commission. And maybe you've heard about this, and unfortunately the county council did vote in the majority to launch this human rights commission. A lot of people are they're basically questioning, and there's going to be a lot of concern with this so-called human rights commission. And what it is to do is to basically see if there's discrimination against the LGBTQ community. And this would be targeting businesses, individuals, and even churches. And there will be fines and penalties that will be handed out by the commission. Now, this isn't state law, and it's not federal law. The Ohio Christian Alliance, this is what we fight on the state level. There was an attempt to pass legislation over the last few years called the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which is basically special rights for homosexuals, the LGBTQ community. And we have blocked that on the state level. But here you have, on the local level, county councils, city councils, starting to move forward with these kinds of commissions or resolutions. This one in Cuyahoga County is actually a commission that was formed. I believe it's a three-panel commission, and they'll be reviewing discriminatory complaints, and then they're going to issue out fines and penalties. Here to talk to us about it more at length and who's been on the front line of this is John Stover. He's the president of Ohio Value Voters. John served on county council, actually on Parma City Council in the past. He's a member of Cleveland Baptist Church. He's a good friend of the program. John, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you very much, Chris, for having me. And Chris, let me just thank you for everything that you do there at Ohio Christian Alliance. We certainly have more than enough battles here in the state of Ohio for us all to be involved with.
That's right. And John, thank you. And you've been on the front lines of this, and we've been watching this, and kind of as it's been progressing, we were hoping that it would have been defeated on the county level, but you really were up in an uphill sled ride here because I think the final vote, there was only three against. What was it, like 7-4? What was the vote tally?
Yeah, that was there's 11 members that serve at the county council here in Cuyahoga County. It was an 8-3 vote. And basically, Chris, this went right along party lines.
Well, that's unfortunate. I did see on local news outlets, they did show the final vote as it came down, and the room was packed with those who opposed this commission and those who supported it. It's unfortunate. I think a lot of the room erupted into applause. I'm like, for Pete's sake. And, of course, these were people from the homosexual community that came out to fill the chambers to support this initiative. Now, the paper indicated that 20 different villages or councils within the county have already passed similar resolutions. I guess you got a lot of incorporated area in Cuyahoga County. I thought, how do you find 20? I don't know which they're talking about, but I guess it'd be places like Lakewood or some of the villages. So have you watched that over the last few years, how this has been progressing as resolutions by some of these very liberal areas? And then how did this all come about with this so-called Human Rights Commission for Cauga County?
Well, Chris, your listeners certainly right away when they hear the fact human rights, you know, it's a case where, well, who could be opposed to human rights? But as I stated on September 12th, when I spoke before the county commission, human rights begins at conception. But I also said, you know, that's another argument for another day. But certainly that's where human rights begin. But this is something that's been pushed by an organization known as the Human Rights Campaign. If your listeners go out there and they run a Google search or any other search on Human Rights Campaign, they'll see that this is a nationwide organization of the LGBTQ that they go into all of these different communities, different cities, different counties, and they attempt to push it. And when looking, you know, as you mentioned my time on Parma City Council, I've had, during the 12 years that I served there, I had an opportunity to be involved in writing legislation, reviewing legislation, but this is one of the worst pieces of legislation I've ever seen. They come out with a term called gender identity or expression, and it actually means any individual action or perceived gender-related identity, appearance, expression, mannerism, or other gender-related characteristics, regardless of the individual's designated sex at birth. Now, that's important because basically it permits, you know, an individual to pillow his head at night as a man, wake up in the morning, feel that he's feminine, he walks into a ladies' restroom and has a right to be there. And, you know, this was something that some of the liberal reporting that, you know, misrepresented what this legislation potentially will do, because it's been passed in other parts of the country. And in those areas of the country that it's been passed in, one has to do nothing more than take a look at some of the harrowing experiences that have developed. For example, in the state of Michigan, a planet, it's called the Planet Fitness story, but actually it's a shocking story. A woman goes into Planet Fitness, she works out, she then goes into the ladies' dressing facility, sees a man sitting there putting on his makeup. She goes to the manager, tells the manager, you know, we have a problem. There's a man here in the ladies' facility. The manager says she has a right to be there. And ultimately she waits an hour. Ultimately she walks out to her vehicle, ready to go home. Well, this individual, the man that was in the ladies' dressing facility, is upset that she will not go in and conduct her business. So she follows, he follows her out, calling 911, stating I wanted to call and file a discrimination suit against the woman, and goes on to, you know, basically file this complaint. You know, you mentioned this three-member commission that would be part of Cuyahoga County. You know, their job is going to be to listen to potential complaints, going all the way back to situation that we've had in our country relatively recently with the cake baker that would not bake a cake for a homosexual couple. Now, mind you, one could basically state that, well, you know, this is a service that should be provided. Well, but, you know, wait a minute. You know, there is something that's referred to as our First Amendment rights of moral conscience, of things that we can and feel that we can and cannot do. And just as since 1973, and I know, Chris, you have been on the front line, as well as our organization, Ohio Value Voters, and many others in the state opposing abortion, but since 1973, there's not been one situation that I'm aware of in our country when it comes to the abortion issue where a doctor has had his license stripped or been fined or had any type of repercussions because he felt that it was morally wrong to perform an abortion. And that's the service that he provides. Well, you know, there are people in Cuyahoga County that provide services as well, and they should not be subjected to a situation where they are forced to provide a service to somebody of the LGBTQ community, whether it's a baker, whether it's a photographer, et cetera. But as you stated, this commission will hear the cases. They have the ability to issue a fine anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000. They can also subpoena, an individual to testify, and ultimately they have the right to force the person who has filed the complaint against a complainant to pay the legal fees. of that individual as well.
Well, you know, John, as we're talking, I know people are thinking, it's like, wait a second, what's going on here? People are listening and they're saying, that can't be. Well, you know, saying, well, what about state law? This didn't come up on the, this isn't state law. How is Cauga County able to do this? Well, basically, these county councils in local control, they're testing the waters. That isn't that what right. they're doing here, John? They're pushing the envelope. They know that they're flying in the face of even federal and state law, but they're doing it in an indignant manner. Talk to us about that.
That's exactly right, Chris. It's the local jurisdiction that they have. You know, Armin Budish is our county executive. Back whenever he was Speaker of the House, Ohio House, he attempted to push similar legislation to cover the entire state. It didn't happen. Fortunately, saner heads prevailed. He gets to Cuyahoga County, and then it does, in fact, pass. And, you know, I would say here, when it comes to another term that they have in this legislation, is place of public accommodation. You know, basically, they start off by stating in the legislation that it means any hotel, motel, inn, restaurant. And it goes through the long litany of places of public accommodation. Finally, they state in this legislation or any other place of public accommodation, just in case we missed anything. Basically, the churches, houses of worship in our county, there is no exemption. I sat down privately with members of the Cuyahoga County Commission. I said, look, why don't you at least give the churches an exemption? And this is a quote by the county council member I spoke to. He says, well, they don't want it. When he said they don't want it, right away I knew who he was making reference to. And I said, you're referring to the Human Rights Campaign? They don't want it? He said, that's right. In other words, they want to even have the ability to have, I'll refer to him as Transgender Ted, who decides to walk into a church service and then walk into the ladies' restroom. You know, this is, you know, we're living in troubling times. We're living in the last day, according to the scripture. And it's really disheartening to see this type of legislation pass. But I would also say that, you know, there are a number of organizations, businessmen that I know of that's already sought their legal counsel and are already looking at what means they need to address to handle a situation that may come up.
Right, to shore up legally how they can defend themselves. And as you know, the group has said throughout that churches are not exempted, and that so churches in the county could be targeted, meaning if they are not providing transgender bathrooms, if a transgender walks into a women's bathroom at a church service on a Sunday morning and the church objects, that could be a complaint that could be filed. The next thing you know, pastor in the church is hearing from this commission. John, I know that you and your pastor, Kevin Folger of Cleveland Baptist Church, went out there and was talking to clergymen, talking to pastors throughout the county and the city, and trying to get them and recruit them to come down, weigh in on this issue. Somewhat disappointingly, you didn't get the response you should have had or that you were desiring to have. A lot of churches just didn't get back to you. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, that was the case. We did have a number of other churches that did respond. But you know, it's one of those situations and cases where you know they you have people that want to be politically correct on this issue, Chris, and that's what we've seen. You know, I mentioned some of the situations and stories that where this legislation has been passed elsewhere. There's a interesting March 17, 2017 article that's out there regarding a woman that was there with her family. She was there with other women with their families. And this was a liberal mom, and it's titled Liberal Mom's Harrowing Account of a Man in the Woman's Restroom at Disneyland. Well, you know, the woman in here, I'm sure she probably voted for Hillary Clinton, but basically even she says, you know, the time for political correctness needs to come to an end because they were not able to go into their own restroom because of the fact that a man decided he was going to loiter in that restroom, just waiting for women to come in, and he's walking back and forth and looking in the slots of each stall. And it's just mind-boggling that in our country that we would end up in a situation, whereas was the case a few years ago when it was necessary for us as Ohioans to define marriage, which was between a man and a woman, which is how God intended it, that maybe one day we may have to put on the ballot as an amendment to our Constitution defining a woman's bathroom. You know, this is this once again, Chris, is just something that you know, we all have to be aware of, and ultimately do what is necessary to stand for decency and righteousness here in our state.
We're going to talk about more of what the potential problems are and actually the real threat to churches and individuals and businesses in Cuyahoga County with this so-called launch of this Human Rights Commission. We're talking to John Stover, president of Ohio Value Voters. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Hi, this is David Barton of Wall Builders. Tuesday, November the 6th is a very important day for Ohio Christians. It's Election Day. It's a day when Christians have a duty to vote, especially for candidates who will protect our religious liberties. Even though our religious liberty is an inalienable right given to us by God Himself, many in government today are openly hostile to it, even attacking it. You need to vote. If you're not registered to vote in Ohio, you can register online by going to myohiovote.com. Again, myohiovote.com, and you must have a current Ohio driver's license to register. You can also register by mail at your county board of elections. The deadline to register is October the 7th, so don't delay. Please stand up and let your vote be felt in protecting our inalienable right of religious freedom. God bless. Paid for by the One Nation Under God Foundation, a tax-exempt organization.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back. We're talking with John Stover. He is president of the Ohio Value Voters. We're talking about the Human Rights Commission that unfortunately was launched by county council in Cuyahoga County. And this is going to spell trouble for businesses, individuals, and churches in time to come. We're going to break this down. We do want to encourage you to get out, register, and vote. And also, just a little correction on that little ad that's running. The voter registration deadline is October 9th. But the last Citizenship Sunday is this Sunday, October 7th. We encourage your congregation to participate in a Citizenship Sunday, a voter registration effort at your church. Materials on our website, Ohio Christian Alliance, can be downloaded right at the top of the page. Just click on the icon, register to vote. 8 pages will load, including a voter registration form, an application for absentee ballot, and a request form for voter guides that we are providing. So we will provide print voter guides. It will also be available on our website. And again, we have surveyed the candidates running for the statewide races of governor, attorney general, secretary of state, treasurer, auditor, the congressional races, Ohio House and Ohio Senate. And we'll have information on issue one, which we're urging a no vote on issue one. So all that is on our website at ohioca.org. John, as we look at this, this is obviously going to be problematic for churches. And I know that you and your pastor, Pastor Folger, were reaching out to different pastors around the county to try to get them to weigh in to stop this thing before it actually got passed. I don't know where they're drawing their line of defense, or for whatever reason they didn't want to come out and put their name on the line. But they're going to face this situation one way or another. And, you know, maybe because the bigger churches are saying, well, we don't want that lawsuit happening in our church, even though we might win it, it's going to drain our coffers of legal fees. It will cause our insurance rates to go up because of settlements outside of court. You know, this is problematic all the way around. You know, people may be listening and say, well, that can't be. That's against federal and state law. Well, currently, right now, we do not have a law in Ohio. We're trying to get the Pastors Protection Act passed at the Ohio State House. And if anything was an impetus for it, of moving it forward, it's this. Your thoughts?
Absolutely right, Chris. You know, I happened to be talking to a good friend of mine at our church service about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And he says, this has been going on for ages, the LGBTQ community. I said, you're absolutely right. I said, it's been going on for a long, long time. Matter of fact, the other side, will say that we're nothing but haters, et cetera. We don't hate them. We just hate their sin. I mean, God looks upon this as a sin. And I would urge your listeners to go to Romans chapter 1. Or just look up the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. The story of Lot and his family living in a city. It says Lot's spirit and his attitude was vexed with this, where he basically sat there and tolerated it and said nothing. And ultimately, before God destroyed the city, Chris, as you know, the two angels went into the city and removed Lot, his wife, and his daughters, and ultimately, those men that were standing there, I'm sure that many of them were dressed as females whenever they were there at Lot's front door. And this is, unfortunately, getting back to many of the clergy, the pastors in Cuyahoga County, you're right, they did not want to become involved because they felt that it's politically correct to say nothing at this time. But, we've had periods of time in our history, not only in the state, but then also when looking outside our state and even country, where men have stood silent and women have stood silent on issues that ultimately came back and it was a much greater issue that they had to face at a later date. But this Human Rights Commission is definitely there for one purpose, and that is to hear complaints of those that felt that they were discriminated against, and using their subpoena powers to subpoena a business owner, a restaurant owner, even possibly a pastor, to come down and testify as to why they discriminated against somebody of the LGBTQ community.
Well, John, this is unfortunate. This is where we're at today, and we're finding out that this is the kind of challenge that the evangelical church is facing. And like you said, we express love to the LGBTQ individuals, those who have same-sex attraction. We pray for them. We do not encourage their sinful activity because the Bible says it's immoral of a man with a man or a woman with a woman. This is immoral. But we pray for them and we'll love them in Christ. But we're going to take a political stand. We're going to take a stand on public policy. And in this instance, it's in the county. Unfortunately, the county council, and that's why folks, elections matter. If these people aren't representing your views, then vote them out. Get involved. And I think it is a little bit discouraging at times that some in the church are a little bit compromised on their political positions, don't want to talk about certain things. But actually, we have a moral obligation to talk about what is moral. We have an obligation to speak out into the public arena on issues of morality that would benefit the society as a whole. The Bible says that we are salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Jesus has sent us forth to be that kind of an example before the world. And so, God bless you, John, for what you're doing. I know that churches are beginning to think, okay, what do we need to do to prepare ourselves legally in the event that you have somebody coming in and challenging, when we have a restroom, it's a men's restroom or a woman's restroom. What's going to happen when someone comes in and says, well, my gender is not what I was born with. I believe I'm, a woman now, if it's a man or vice versa. How are churches preparing for this in the event that they are going to be challenged by that community with this new policy in Cuyahoga County?
Well, I can't speak for all churches. I know that our church and pastor, we are looking at a meeting soon with our legal counsel to discuss these issues as to the proper action that we should be taking, how we need to handle a situation. You know, Chris, getting back to, it's just a concentrated effort by the LGBTQ community to do such things as urging states to leave the gender neutral or undefined on birth certificates, on driver's license, et cetera. I mean, think about it. Even on a birth certificate, whenever you see that it's happening there, what's the agenda there? The agenda there is to ultimately have potentially a 5, 6, 7-year-old boy or girl that would be part of an elementary school, and there would be someone there that would observe the observations of this boy. I'm using a boy now in this example, because this boy was spending a little bit more time with the girls in the classroom, because maybe he grew up in a class, in a home with all sisters, that all of a sudden now someone is going to suggest, well, you know, this little boy may be a good candidate for gender reassignment, you know, and that's the issue also that we have here, is this gender reassignment. I mean, it's something else that's was not part of this human rights commission legislation that passed in Cuyahoga County, but certainly it leads to ultimately the overall public acceptance of this type of activity in our county and in our nation.
The world is upside down. John, thanks for being on the program today and sharing information about that. We'll be monitoring it and praying as we go forward.
Thank you, Chris.
John Stover, president of Ohio Value Voters. Also want to tell you about October the 18th, which is a rally against Issue 1 and a candidate forum. It will be at the Sheraton Suites in Cuyahoga Falls. It's open to the public. 6 p.m. is a meet and greet, and 7 o'clock is the program. It's open to the public. So again, more information on our website at ohioca.org. So we'd love for you to come out on October the 18th at 6 p.m. at the Sheraton Suites in Cuyahoga Falls. It'll be a rally against Issue 1 in a candidate forum. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.